show that is all baseball.
They're better than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, The 99 Restaurants, Zing Zang Cocktail in the Can, Win Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Warner, you're right. You can buy and sell if you're in Oakland, you're in Tampa Bay, but not in a big market like Boston. Because, yeah, there are a lot of reasons to be excited about the defense. Now that you've got Eric Hosmer, he makes the infield better. But Christian Vasquez, you're looking for a catcher.
All-star catcher.
What's the point of trading away Christian Vasquez and then bring in Tommy Pham? It doesn't make any sense.
Right. That's Buster Olney of ESPN. It doesn't make any sense. That's what Buster Olney says about the Red Sox flurry of activity here at the 2022 Major League Baseball trading deadline. That is where we're going to begin tonight. 617-779-0985. We're going to open up the phone lines right away. Let me tell you first what we're going to do on the program tonight. And then, as always, we will take your calls, obviously. But I'm just going to give you a little update here on what has happened, what moves the Red Sox have made. And then we'll get to the particulars regarding Chaim Bloom, his tenure here in Boston, some of the reaction coming out of Houston from Red Sox players here on trading deadline day. And again, the deadline just passed just a few minutes ago. That doesn't mean necessarily that the news is done. There can always be a lag here with regard to deals as it pertains to the trading deadline. So we are expecting a trickle of activity. But at the moment, the Red Sox have made a handful of deals, only one more today after the trade of Christian Vasquez last night. So I'll just recap them for you here quickly. Last night, the Red Sox traded Christian Vasquez to the Houston Astros for a pair of minor leaguers, including the number 12 prospect in the Houston system, who is a left-handed hitting, I'll call him DH, because he doesn't really have a position. He's played multiple positions, which means he has none. So that was the primary acquisition of the Vasquez deal. Tommy Pham, outfielder from Cincinnati, what I would call a platoon player who can hit left-handed pitching. He came to the Red Sox for future considerations, which typically future considerations are relatively insignificant or almost entirely meaningless. So Tommy Pham to Boston, and also Reese McGuire, backup catcher from the Chicago White Sox, in what was a salary dump of Jake Diekman. Jake Diekman went to the White Sox for Reese McGuire. Red Sox saved some money there. Diekman has been a borderline disaster, if not a full disaster, in the Red Sox bullpen. Those were the three moves made yesterday. Today, the Red Sox acquired first baseman Eric Hosmer from the San Diego Padres, along with two minor leaguers that I am reluctant to call prospects. Two minor leaguers who are in A-ball, neither of whom has distinguished himself really in any capacity. One, I believe, was a second baseman. The other was an outfielder. And the names that I did not write down because I don't deem them to be significant prospects. So Eric Hosmer has joined the Red Sox. Pitching prospect Jay Groom, a former first-round pick of the Red Sox, I believe going back to 2016, maybe 2015, 16, in that area, Jay Groom goes to San Diego in that deal. Now, there are also financial considerations that come into these moves, but that is a recap of the activity, pending anything else that comes in here in the next little bit. That is a recap of the activity involving the Red Sox in the last couple of days. Let me say this now, and you just heard Buster Olney say it doesn't make sense. I agree with Olney. So when you look at these kinds of moves, you trade your catcher, who has been one of the better players on your team and one of the more productive players at his position in the league this year, you trade him at the trading deadline because why? And the answer? Because he was the guy that the Red Sox could get the most for. So they traded Christian Vasquez because he could get more than J.D. Martinez or Nathan Eovaldi. And I'll spare you all the minutiae as it pertains to free agency and compensation and all that other stuff. But the Red Sox traded one of their best players and in return got two minor leaguers, including the number 12 prospect in the Houston system. Then that made them worse. Then they got Tommy Pham back, or got Tommy Pham from Cincinnati. They also got Reese McGuire, who's a backup catcher. And frankly, I almost throw that one out completely. That is sort of a nothing backup catcher, roster filler kind of deal. Not that they, but the point is the Red Sox don't have a real catcher right now. So I'm eager to see who plays tonight. I'll ask Jim Murray. Jim Murray, have you seen a Red Sox lineup yet?
No, I haven't.
If you can find one, find out who's catching tonight, if you would, please. It could be Ronaldo Hernandez, who was brought up from Pawtucket. Certainly Kevin Plawecki would be in play. I don't know if McGuire has joined the team yet, but I'd be eager to see who's catching tonight. And then also the Eric Hosmer deal. And so let me just tell you in no uncertain terms as it pertains to Hosmer, I like the player. He's not what he used to be. But Eric Hosmer is, dare I say, a legitimate major league first baseman. He's not great, but he can play first base in the big leagues, unlike what the Red Sox have had out there for the last 2 years, which angers me. So now the Red Sox get to the trading deadline after playing 162 games last year without a first baseman and playing another 104 games this year without a first baseman. Now they decide that they should get someone who can field the position. And you know why they did the deal? Because the cost was cheap. That's why. So my frustration with the Red Sox continues to be the same thing. They don't address needs because they need help at the big league level. They address the need when the price is right. So you will sacrifice 104 games of the season, during which you've gone 52-52, before you go out and get a first baseman. Why? To tell everyone now that you added at the deadline and you're making a run at the playoffs, when we all know that really the Red Sox continue to weigh the long term over the short. And let me just get this part off my chest before I take your calls, because I hear from a lot of you via email now, and obviously many of you call in. And when I say now, I mean since I started doing the games on NESN. And I hear from people who say, how come you hate the Red Sox? You sound angry over the weekend. You sound like you want the team to lose. And let me say, in no uncertain terms, none of that is true. What I hate is when the Red Sox don't put what I would call a representative product on the field, when they don't win, and when they don't necessarily make a true investment in winning. And I don't always mean that in the financial sense. But Chaim Bloom this year has made more moves for the future than he has to help the 2022 Red Sox. And if that doesn't piss you off as much as it pisses me off, I'm sorry. So I'm not angry at you, the fan, but the bottom line is you should expect a lot from that team. You should expect a lot from the product, just as you do with the other teams here in town. And if they fail to meet those expectations, I wear that on my sleeve. Okay? I don't hate anybody in the Red Sox organization. Chaim Bloom's a nice guy. I don't hate the owners over there. I certainly don't hate the players or the manager or the coaching staff. What I hate is losing and embarrassing yourself. That's what I hate. And if it comes out with some level of anger, well, honestly, part of me wants to apologize for that, but I don't really see why I should. So it might sound like something different to you, but it's not. I don't hate Jaron Duran. I don't hate Franchi Cordero. I don't hate anybody that puts on that uniform. I expect something from them, but I get nothing against any of them personally. So let me just get that off my chest, because I get accused of a lot. Doug is in Acton tonight. Doug, kick us off.
James, Anthony, how are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Real good. Guys, I stopped watching the night Jackie Bradley came out of the bullpen, just to let you guys know. So I have no hate or pain, that type of thing. Just a couple of observations, and I'll be quick. I think that Bloom got his pants down probably when they started the season in March, when we signed the collective bargaining. I don't think they thought there was going to be a season, hence the Paxton signing, hence a lot of things like that. And I'm going to hang up and let you guys talk. I think that while we're signing 32 and 33-year-old guys, why don't they just go ahead and grab the Marlins catcher, Sandy Leon? He was here before.
Okay, so Doug, look, with regard to the specific catcher, Murray, did you find out who's starting? Is the lineup not up yet?
It's not up yet, no.
Yeah, I'm not surprised because, again, there's a flurry of activity. It's a trading deadline. It can happen this way where you don't see any real additions till the last minute. I don't understand how you can – the catcher is the anchor of your staff, the pitcher of the battery. The catcher's the anchor. He's the one that's there every night. You don't just trade your catcher and say you're going for it. Like, so this idea that the Red Sox, you know, they want it both ways. They want to be able to go out and get their prospects, and at the same time, they want to say, well, we haven't given up on the season. And the only guys they've added here cost them nothing. Now, you can say that that is shrewd. I would tell you they needed the players a long time ago. They needed a right-handed hitting outfielder at the beginning of the year. They needed a first baseman at the beginning of last year. So the mere fact that they put that off until now tells you that they didn't really want to make the deal then because they didn't want to give up what was necessary to do it. That is putting the long term ahead of the short. That I find frustrating. Under Dombrowski, it was the opposite. It went too much in the other way. The short term outweighed the long too far. Now the pendulum has swung completely back in the opposite direction, and they're stuck on this thing where they won't add anybody who costs them anything. Gabe is in a car. Gabe, go ahead.
You know, Maz, I'm just so annoyed. I was at the game on Friday night, and their need for a right-handed hitting outfielder has been there the whole year, to the point where they pinch-hit something named Jalen Davis in the ninth inning against Josh Hader. And now, you know, you go out and pick up Tommy Pham. Great. You're 4 months too late, as you said earlier, and you trade your catcher, who's been a great player for you this year. I'm just really annoyed with how they handled the deadline, and I'll hang up once you talk.
Okay, so Gabe, let me get this off my chest, too. I said this to Murray. I like Christian Vasquez as a player. You know, I don't love him. He's fine. Serviceable catcher. And he had one of the biggest hits of the season last year in the playoffs. It's his signature moment as a Red Sox. The Red Sox, the home run against Tampa, that won game two or three, whichever one it was, I don't remember. Game three, because it was here. So, and I think and he had a terrific year. They didn't just give up Carlton Fisk or Jason Varitek or one of those guys. Okay, so, and again, I respect what Vasquez gave the organization. He certainly deserved better than the way the whole thing went down last night. But at the end of the day, players come, players go. We've seen it a million times. I'm not going to cry that they traded someone away. It's more the philosophy that bugs me. Where is this going? Where is it going? What exactly are the Red Sox trying to accomplish? What is the priority? Because I was always under the impression that the priority was to win at the major league level. That was the priority. And to win championships and compete for championships at the major league level. Now, I don't like the last place finishes. I told you I don't like that you know, up and down erratic existence. I don't like that. They should be able to do what they did under Theo Epstein over a 10-year period, where basically they were pretty much in it every year, and the first five were better than the second five. They didn't win a championship every year. They only won a couple under Theo. But you never felt like they were falling apart or they weren't trying to win, per se. Well, you know, and there was a quote-unquote bridge year or two in there, but it was never blatant. This just feels so much worse. So I want to get to High and Bloom when we come back. We'll get to some of the other moves. Any other moves that trickle in, we'll update you on as well. Don't go anywhere. We have a full baseball hour tonight on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
What is the general feeling inside that clubhouse right now?
Nicole, there's no question about it. When this trade deadline is over, when the dust settles, there's a lot of work that needs to be done by the front office to repair the relationships within the clubhouse, because they're wondering, what is the plan? I had players coming up to me asking me, what are we doing here? Wondering, why don't we have Xander Bogart signed, Rafael Devers, etc.? What are we doing going forward? Yesterday, you heard Christian Vasquez talk about, hey, we're 3.5 games out. We feel like we have a chance to compete. But he also added he didn't know how the front office feels about it. And 24 hours later, he's traded. So within that clubhouse, a lot of players asking a lot of questions about what the front office is doing.
This is one that I know hurts in the clubhouse. Very aware of that, even though sitting here in Boston right now, just because it's easier to operate out of here, and I won't be able to be there until after the deadline. You know, I know it hurts, and that's something that we don't take lightly with these guys, you know, busting their tails out there as we speak and on a daily basis. And I know the effort that they put in, and I know the clubhouse that we have, and I really think it's a good clubhouse. You know, I know this is going to hurt.
Again, that's Buster Olney on ESPN, followed by High and Bloom. I want to get to more of Bloom's comments last night throughout the course of the show here today. We'll take your calls as well. I just want to update you on a couple of things quickly that Jim Murray has. One concerns the Eric Hosmer trade. The second concerns clubhouse reaction. So, Murray, let's start with the Hosmer deal. What were the particulars on the financials for Hosmer?
Okay, so I'm reading from Alex Speer here. He writes 14 minutes ago on Twitter, source, San Diego paying down the entire Hosmer contract, save for the minimum, paying about $44 million to Boston. His first tweet, by the way, was no other buzzer beaters for the Red Sox aside from Hosmer.
Okay, so just quickly on the $44 million that Hosmer is due. It's about $7 million this year, and then there's $39 million. Potentially 3 more years after that, an average of 13 per. So Alex Speer says that they're paying 44. The Red Sox would be responsible for a minimum salary, and that's it, which is like 700 grand a year. Okay, so it's nothing. It's nothing. That bugs me, and I'll tell you why. Because the Red Sox got a couple of A-ball flyers in this deal and had to give up Jay Groom. If they had taken on more money, they'd have gotten better prospects. And they may not have had to give up Groom at all. You follow me?
Yeah.
So, in other words, the fact that the money meant more to the Red Sox than the actual talent did. So this is one of these things about we're only going to take on cheap players. We're not going to extend ourselves. And so you ultimately, and what frustrates me about this isn't the cheapness of it or whatever. It's about what kind of players do you want? So you could have gotten better prospects if you took on some of the money and, say, paid, instead of the minimum with Eric Hosmer, you paid $5 million a year. Something like that. Okay, so that bugs me. I'd rather have the players. To me, you should do what you did.
Seems logical, yeah.
Yeah, you should do what you did in the Adam Ottavino deal. Was it Jeff Passan who brought it up, or it might have been Joel Sherman. You know, in the Adam Ottavino deal, the Red Sox took on Ottavino's contract, and they got a prospect out of the Yankee system. Perfect. They didn't do that with Hosmer. They did the opposite. Okay, the second thing, Murray, was clubhouse reaction, and this was from who? Peter Abraham of the Globe?
Yeah, so he tweeted an hour ago, Xander Bogaerts deferred when asked about his confidence in the direction of the franchise, said he doesn't see how they got better losing Christian Vasquez. He was downcast, as you would expect.
Okay, so this tells you plenty, and this is why we played the audio we did coming back from the break. High and Bloom is losing uniformed personnel, and I say the clubhouse. He's losing the clubhouse. The players don't believe in him. The coaches and the manager don't believe in him. I think there are people in the organization above that that wonder where the hell this thing is going. So let's examine some of the moves that Bloom has made here in the last couple of years. The Mookie Betts deal. The Red Sox identified Jeter Downs as a guy they wanted after they rejected Bruce Dar-Gratterall. Okay? They identified Jeter Downs. Disaster. The Hunter Renfro deal for Jackie Bradley. Take on money to go get a couple of A-ball players out of the Milwaukee system. Both of those guys are playing poorly at AA, so that deal, fail. And what's the one I'm leaving out, Murray? Andrew Benintendi, for Josh Winkowski and Franchi Cordero, who Franchi Cordero, with all due respect, can't play in the big leagues. It's not a Franchi Cordero story. It's a Chaim Bloom story. And Josh Winkowski feels like, at best, a swing man. So you've given up a left fielder who can play every day in the big leagues, a right fielder who can play every day in the big leagues, a guy who is a perennial MVP candidate in Mookie Betts, and what you've gotten back is Alex Verdugo. So now Christian Vasquez goes to Houston. Can you blame me if I have my doubts about whether or not that deal is going to be worth it? Can anyone blame you if you feel that way?
No, there's a big enough track record. By the way, it's Plawicki who's the catching tonight.
Okay, so Plawicki is in there for, and who's on the mound? Is it Rich Hill?
No, Cutter Crawford.
Cutter Crawford tonight, and I'm assuming is Rafael Devers back at third base, Murray?
He is.
Okay.
Duran, Devers, Bogarts, Martinez, Verdugo, Pham, Cordero, Arroyo, Plawicki.
Okay, and are the Astros throwing a lefty tonight?
No, Christian Javier.
Okay. All right. I was just curious because Pham was in the lineup.
Yeah, Bregman's back in the lineup for them, too.
Okay, so let's take your phone calls. I'll get some of the particulars with Bloom that he said last night a little later on in the show. Drew is in Boston. Go ahead, Drew.
Tony, today was so disgusting. I'm calling you from vacation, okay? This guy, I've said on the show since day one, is not fit for the job. We hired someone's bootlicker to do a big market job that has a real specific set of criteria you need to be able to be successful here. He has showed us time and again that he doesn't have the wherewithal or the stones to be our GM, number one. Number two.
Okay, Drew, I'm going to stop you there just because I got a lot of people on the line. I'm going to try to get to as many of you as possible. I'm worried about Bloom, too. I am more worried about the future of the Red Sox than I've been in a long, long time, which is what Xander Bogaerts was asked about the future of the team, and he seems very, what was the word again, Murray? Not distraught. Downtrodden or
downcast.
That's what it was. Nick is in Westport. Nick, go ahead.
Hey, Maz, what's up? So I'll try to be quick on the deadline. Pretty much, I don't like what Chaim Bloom did. He didn't really buy or sell. It seems like he middled it, which is what we were all afraid of. The only hope that the Red Sox have left going forward is that he's not here next year at some point if they don't have a good year, and that they also sign Bogarts and Devers and keep them. And I just don't like the deadline moves at all. I don't like the Hosmer thing. He hasn't had a good year defensively. It's not really going to help them that much, and I want to hear what you got to say about it.
Yeah, so Nick, look, I don't mind the Hosmer pickup. Okay, again, I would have eaten some of the money and tried to get a better player out of their system versus what they did. But Hosmer can play first base, which is good. Fine. It took you till now to get him. You needed a first baseman last year. You didn't get one. You needed a first baseman at the deadline last year. You let Rizzo go to the Yankees. You brought in Schwarber, who hit for you, but still couldn't play the position. Then you let Schwarber leave via free agency because you didn't want to pay him, I think. The money somehow got too high at $4.79, even though he could easily be your DH next year and replace J.D. Martinez. Then the season started, and you needed a first baseman again, and you waited 4 months to get one. So now they're 52-52. They've had the worst defense at first base in the big leagues for the last 2 years. That's a fact. That is a statistical fact. And now they get Eric Hosmer. Why? Because they can get him for nothing. So they weren't willing to address the problem until it cost them nothing. So they were more interested in the good deal than they were in actually fixing the problem. And that should bug you. So what's more important here, winning the trade or winning games on the field? This is the part that should drive you bananas. Sometimes, to help your team, you got to lose a trade. Sometimes. We're not rooting for the GM here. We're rooting for the team on the field. That's the idea. And I say rooting for, you know what I mean. The objective is not to win trades. It's to win games and championships. Matt's in California. Go ahead, Matt.
Even Bloom got that memo. I think he needs to lose every trade, right? I've been on record as saying that I've been wanting to add players this year, but I did not expect this at all. I'm okay with the Hosmer deal just because they had the immediate need there, but categorically they got worse by trading Vasquez away. It just seems very punch drunk, okay, and chaotic. Pick a direction and commit to it. Nobody likes the slip flopping. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so Matt, yeah, I'm not convinced they got worse, but I would say they're about the same. They're about the same. And the other thing, Murray, and you mentioned this quickly, Murray, what was the biggest deficiency on this year's team? Like, if you were to say, where was the area of weakness that needed to be addressed?
Bullpen.
Did that get addressed?
No.
Did the pitching staff at all get addressed?
No, I would think even two, you try to maybe find a decent starter you can put in or someone that can eat maybe four or five innings to open for you, and they didn't even do that. You had some holes there in terms of your pitching staff, and they did nothing there.
So no bullpen help, no rotation help. And you know why? Because pitching costs require sacrifice. That's why. Martin's in Texas. Martin, go ahead.
Hey, Maz, I just wanted to say, if you're not going to get rid of Evaldi or JD, why the hell would you get rid of Vasquez? Doesn't make any sense to me. And
okay,
with the Osmond
Martin,
thing, I'm okay. I'm okay with the money because you can give it to our guys at the end of the season. That's all.
Okay, so Martin, that's fair. If that ends up getting you Bogaerts or Devers back, great. I'm telling you, they got plenty of money coming off the books, so they could afford Bogaerts and Devers without saving on the Hosmer deal. And I'm not talking about saving big money. I mean, paying Hosmer big money. They're going to pay him basically $700,000 a year. What if you had made that number $4 million or $5 million? And you take another $10 million off the hands of the Padres, or $12 million, or whatever it is. Maybe you get a better player out of it. Maybe you get a better chance of actually getting a player in your system. So that's one thing. And why was Vasquez moved and Eovaldi and J.D. Martinez were not? I'll tell you why. Two reasons. One is they were going to lose Vasquez without any compensation whatsoever during the winter. And that may or may not be true with Eovaldi and J.D. Martinez. We'll see what happens there. It could go either way. You may or may not get compensation there, but with Vasquez, you weren't going to get any. So they moved him now. And secondly, Vasquez got them more. Because Vasquez has been healthy. He plays a position that is in need for everybody. He's been having a good year. The other two guys were recently hurt. So they probably couldn't get what they wanted, and they didn't move them. Not to mention they have bigger contracts. So the deal's more complicated. So they were tougher to move. They couldn't get what they wanted. They kept those guys. But Vasquez? No, they were able to sacrifice him for the future, so they did that. Don't be fooled as to what their motives were in these deals. Okay, the real reasons are relating to what they could get for the future. That's what it was. They prioritized the future in these trades. They're going to sell it to you as they improve the team in the short term as well, and I'm not sure they did. I think they stepped sideways. I think they're basically the same, and they have no catcher. Murray's got your headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now more baseball and more Mavs.
Okay.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mavs on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Hosmer was in the trade originally. He has a limited no trade. It included his ability to say no to going to the Nationals. He said no about going to the Nationals. He has 3 years of $39 million left after this season, a few million left this year. And the Padres, one of the things they had been trying to do was see if they could make this blockbuster and stay under the first luxury tax threshold level at $230 million. That was going to be near impossible unless they could trade Will Myers and or Eric Hosmer. And they have an agreement, from what I understand, with the Red Sox to move Eric Hosmer to Boston, a place he can be traded to. And the question is now, what is the Red Sox motivation here? They've been kind of dancing both ways. I'll remind people, after the 2020 season, they took on the last year of Adam Ottavino's contract from the hated rival Yankees to be able to get a prospect. I wonder if that's what's going on here. They'll take Hosmer and the money, because they could afford it, because they're the Red Sox, just to buy prospects, essentially. And they have Hosmer on the team and or could redirect him now or after the season. So I think that Boston's still trying to play both ends here, seeing if they could continue to try to at least be in the wild card race the rest of the year, because they're taking quite a lot of abuse up there from their fans and media, but also still thinking broad, big picture about trying to build a sustained winner through some prospect.
Joel Sherman on the MLB Network talking about the Hosmer deal. And let me just say again quickly that San Diego is sending $44 million to cover all of Hosmer's salary if he opts in at the end of this year. It'll be 3 years at 13 per, you know, 13 each. Three times 13 equals 39. But the Padres are going to pay the large majority of that, which means if the Red Sox want to cut him at any time, it's not going to cost him anything. So there's no guarantee he's here for the 3 years. And frankly, I don't think there's any guarantee that he opts in. But that's what the Red Sox got protection for. If he does opt in and they cut him, they're not paying him. Okay? So that part I get. But again, could they have eaten a little of the money and gotten themselves a better prospect? I think that's a question to ask. I want to get back to all of you on the phone. Let me just do a couple one thing quickly, because I want to play a couple of High and Bloom cuts from last night. And then when we get to the phones, I ask all of you again, just please be quick, because I know a lot of you lined up. It's been a busy couple of days with the Red Sox. Been a lot going on over there, and I know a lot of you want to be heard, and rightfully so. But I just ask you to be quick and to the point so we can get as many of you in as possible. Before we do that, let me just go over a couple of things. High and Bloom was asked about the catching situation. Now that Vasquez is gone, and again, he was asked this last night. This was before the Hosmer deal. But, Jimmy, if we could play that, please.
How do you envision your catching situation, catching playing time rolling out going forward?
Yeah, a lot of that, obviously, this is still pretty fresh and, haven't had a chance to really sit down and map it out. We like what Reese McGuire brings to the table as far as being a left-handed hitter who is an asset on defense. We'll see. Obviously, there's nothing else imminent that's up my sleeve right now. But some of this, I think, is best saved for assessing after the deadline is over. We can talk about the full picture.
Okay. The reason I play that, because again, this was before today. They didn't have a plan. There was no plan. The plan was we're going to wing it. We'll piece it together. It'll be Plawecki. It'll be Reese McGuire. It'll be Ronaldo Hernandez from AAA. We'll try to find someone who's hot. So they traded Vasquez without a replacement. That's what you need to know. Okay, there is no replacement for Christian Vasquez. They're flying by the seat of their pants. The next one, Jimmy, Tommy Pham, in terms of his role on the team, if we can play that one, please.
He's basically played a lot of left field, not much right field, some center. Where do you envision him playing?
Yeah, again, we're more focused on just adding a talented player. He has moved around the field. Again, there's a lot of moving parts here. Right now, we are not at full strength. And so contributors, I have a lot of confidence that we're going to be able to make that work. And then we'll see what happens as we go forward here.
Okay, so again, kind of winging it. I mean, since we're not at full strength, so we're going to play him in the lineup now because we don't have anything else. So he's going to play against right-handers as he is tonight. But Tommy Pham is a right-handed hitting outfielder who hits left-handed pitching. He's what the Red Sox should have had at the beginning of the year, but they never added it. The closest they came was Jalen Davis, who was a waiver pickup. And, Davis played a couple of games here and there, but really has given them nothing. And they haven't had a right-handed hitting outfielder all year. So they're picking him one up now. Again, after the boat has left the harbor, so to speak, you've played 104 games, and now you're behind in the playoff race. So you, in order to avoid adding a right-handed hitting outfielder, you sacrifice control over a playoff spot. That's what the give was. Which makes no sense to me. Finally, just quickly, and Jimmy, I think we'll play just half this. But this is High and Bloom on the Houston acquisitions, the two prospects, and what the Red Sox can expect from those players. We're going to focus just on the first one. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, the players we got are players we're really excited about. Both these guys are fast risers in the Houston system. I don't just mean in terms of the levels they're at, but just in terms of the progression of their skills. Really good hitters. Valdez plays a lot of different positions, but the bat is really the calling card. It's come on very well and very quickly. When you go under the hood, there's a lot of things he does that make him a very complete hitter. He makes contact, he manages at bats, he drives the ball. He covers all different pitch types, covers the strike zone really well, and has really come on this year, making nice progress offensively. Abreu,
Stop there, Jimmy. So again, he goes through those assets that the player has. And now I don't have it in front of me. The kid's name escapes me. Abreu is the other kid. Jimmy, do you remember the name of the first prospect they got? This is the kid who's projects as more of a DH, or maybe Murray, in the Houston deal. Not Abreu, the other kid. Okay, he's the number 12 prospect in the Houston system. As Bloom goes through and rattles off the assets, I feel like he's reading from charts. Like, you know, he's good at commanding the strike zone. He's got some power. You know, the level of improvement has been rapid. So there's like some chart there where they can see all this on paper. How does a kid handle adversity? Do they know that? How does he handle pressure situations? What's his work ethic like? So I wonder whether, did they scout him? Did Bloom scout him? Has Bloom seen him play in person? Do they even do this stuff anymore?
You know the answer to that.
Okay, and by the way, this is not necessarily exclusive to the Red Sox. This is a baseball-wide thing now. But you understand my point. When Chaim Bloom is telling me that based on a printout, well, I can make those determinations too. Why do I need Chaim Bloom to do that? You know, this is I can look at a printout. Most of us can look at a printout and say, look at the projections, look at the trends, see where he's going. Oh, we like this kid. Okay, let's do it. But the reality, it's like fantasy baseball. Did they see him play? Did they send a scout, even if it wasn't Bloom? Has Bloom seen him play? Or does he not focus on that part of it? Back to your phones. Chris in Chicago. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, Tony, I can give you a rundown on Big Ol' Reese from Chicago. He's terrible. You're exactly right about this whole Diekman deal. It was a complete salary dump. They tried to get a prospect, you know, to give a prospect to the Red Sox, and the Red Sox said no. They just wanted to dump their salaries. You were completely right.
Yeah, there's no question that's what it was. They signed Diekman for 2 years, $8 million. They took back a catcher who has no home runs, has never hit in the big leagues. He's only defensive-minded, and he's making $700,000. It was a salary dump. That's plain and simple. Dean in Shrewsbury. Dean, go.
I'm willing to give the Sox prospects 2 more years because it's a 5-year plan, not a 3-year plan. But we should have sold sell Martinez, Evaldi, and Bogarts and extend Devers. And just, I think we should have sold.
Okay, Dean, before you hang up, because I know you call the program a lot, and I would agree that with prospects, the development can be late, and that's all well and good. In the interim between now and then, what do you think the Red Sox should do at the big league level? Should they win or not try?
Oh, they should have sold. I don't think they should be trying. I'm with, I think.
What about next year, Dean? What about next year?
Next year, if you're going to use a Tampa Bay model, you overpay your 7, 8, 9 hitters and your utility guys and win that way. But I want to see it. I want to see what Chaim Bloom does with his money.
Okay, no, so look, I get it. But again, the Tampa model of winning what? Tampa might not even make the playoffs this year. Everyone knows that, right? So Tampa does have years where they miss the playoffs, and they have bad years. So they're not great every year, and they still haven't won a championship. Alex is in Connecticut. Alex, what do you got?
Yeah, hey, I think I've been saying for weeks he should be fired, and I stick by that still. We're going to have he got his wish. He's going to have $140 million payroll next year. What's the starting nine going to look like? What's the plan going ahead now? All these guys are going to be gone. All that money's off the books. What are we going to field? What's coming out?
Okay, so Alex, look, again, to me, that's the big question here. Where's this going? What's the plan? What's the plan? Because Dean in Shrewsbury says, well, they want to build from within. They want to build with the prospects. Okay, I get it. You got Marcelo Mayer. He was the number 4 pick in the draft. Good luck getting that kind of player again because you're not going to suck that bad. It's the highest the Red Sox have ever picked in the draft. Fine. The trades that you've made with other organizations to get minor leaguers, how have those worked out? The Andrew Benintendi deal, you basically got nothing. Josh Winkowski feels like a swing guy. Okay, I don't think there's any sort of franchise-altering talent there with Josh Winkowski. As for the Mookie Betts deal, you whiffed badly, horrendously. And the Hunter Renfro deal, I think you whiffed on that one, too. I don't think you got anything there. Those kids are in AA this year, and neither one has done anything. So again, what system are they building? The part that should concern you about Bloom is that, well, they want to build the system. Fine. Are they succeeding? Because the Red Sox system ranking this year at the All-Star break went down. It went down. Last year at the end of the year, they were ninth. By the beginning of the season, I think they were 11th, or during the offseason it went to 11th. And then this year at the All-Star break, they were back to 19th. How is that? How is it that the minor league system ranking is going backwards? Again, now, in the middle of Bloom's tenure, after he's made these deals. Explain that one to me. We'll wrap it up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
So in a lot of ways, the Red Sox wake up today. While they're down as a catcher position, they're probably better than they were yesterday. And in that clubhouse, it wasn't a great feeling. And the manager was not real happy about just all the things that were going on in the conversation, because he adamantly says, we're 3.5 games out. We're going to win every – we're here to win. We need players. They got better today.
They did get better. And there was mixed messages yesterday, definitely, when Vasquez was sent out. But the interesting part is what they picked up and who they picked up. Two guys that hit the ball a lot on the ground, but Hosmer, when he hits the ball in the air, it's the other way. And guess what is on the opposite field side at Fenway Park? It's that green monster. So this could really help out Eric Hosmer. He could help out the offense there with the Red Sox and also the defense, most importantly.
Yeah.
It's Eduardo Perez, whose baseball acumen I think is really high. I think he really understands the game. He's really good at it. And, you know, he says Eric Hosmer makes the Red Sox a better team. I mean, I agree. Today, they don't have a first baseman that can play defense, let alone even hit singles. Hosmer can do that. So they're more stable at first base. They also lost their catcher. So when you weigh it all out, you say, are they better or are they worse? I tell you, I think they're the same. And they picked up a couple of prospects in the deal, so they want to make you think that they added to the big league club. They also subtracted from the big league club. So that feels like a wash, and they added a couple of prospects, which is what they wanted. They wanted to focus on the future more than the present. Tom in Springfield, Illinois. Go ahead, Tom.
I just wanted to say thanks for taking my call. I'm pretty discouraged because the Red Sox, it's almost out of their hands. There's been so many injuries this year. We keep waiting for someone to come back, and as soon as they come back, somebody goes back out. So I don't want to blame the season on that, but I did notice over the years, the one thing that's really been pissing me off is we haven't really found a true closer. You look at all the games we lost this year in the eighth and ninth inning that we were leading. Had we had a true closer, we might be looking at first place, if not close behind in second.
Okay, so Tom, again, an excellent call. Because when you say the injuries, yes, yeah, the injuries, of course, they've been a negative. Now let me ask you, what have been the consistent problems that the Red Sox have had all year? And I would say bullpen. Did they address that? Nope. In fact, they took Garrett Whitlock out of the bullpen, which again was a long-term decision, stealing from the 2022 team to invest in those in the future. Mistake. So, you know, if people want to blame the injuries, I would say, well, there are problems that existed on this team from the beginning of the year that they never addressed. Right-handed hitting outfielder and first base. They've now added them at the deadline, 104 games into the regular season, after they've fallen out of possession of a playoff spot. So how is that smart? Why wasn't that done at the beginning of the year or during last offseason? Or why wasn't it done earlier? Because they didn't want to pay for a first baseman or a right-handed hitting outfielder for 162 games. And I say pay as in contract or prospects that you'd have to give up in a deal. So it's one or the other. If you want players for free, you can get them, but you're going to get them at the trading deadline after you've already played two-thirds of your schedule and done some damage to your team. And again, No bullpen help, no pitching help, period. So just think about that. Okay? They can fool you with smoke and mirrors and doing whatever they want. At the end of the day, you're not an idiot. You can see who they added and who they subtracted and figure it out for yourself. Is it Jones and Arcan tonight, Jimmy?
Yes.
Okay, Jones and Arcan coming up next. I'm sure they'll have a great deal on this trade deadline, as it's been an eventful couple of days here for the Red Sox. A reminder that Jared Karabas of, I almost said Barstool, of DraftKings will join us tomorrow night on the Baseball Hour. Jim Murray has got your headlines, and we'll catch you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.